If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we got to talk about some of this NBA drama. Kendrick Perkins versus Charles Barkley. We got LeBron confronting Stephen A. Smith on the court, not even coming on one of his many shows, but getting on the court. And if you want to join in on some of this drama with us, give us a call or a text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Coming up at 1:30, Mount Rushmore plus one. Of course, we'll end the show with the worst people in sports and what we love from sports this week. Thanks for joining us. And again, if you want to hit us up on HRMP listener line, that's great. You can also hit up us on Twitter. I, Brian McDonald, and Matt Sack by BMAC. Cam Smith, not the Astros Cam Smith, is at Clutch City Cam, and Johnny behind the glass is at Third Coast Johnny. So let's start with Kendrick Perkins and Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, obviously not one to hold back. If he feels you said something that's foolish and stupid, he's gonna call you out on it. And Kendrick Perkins, we'll hear his audio because Charles was responding to what he said. But Charles did not like what Kendrick Perkins had to say here in this clip.
The Los Angeles Lakers are saving the NBA. A month ago, let me ask you a question.
We're all dressed like we're going to church and they're saving the NBA.
How excited were y'all a month ago before the Luka trade about the NBA final?
I mean, I saw headlines.
Always excited.
Okay. I saw headlines that said the NBA stole the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Because that was the headline that week.
So now y'all can honestly say that y'all more excited. Why? Because we could possibly get Boston versus Lakers with the superstar power.
I kind of get what Kendrick Perkins is saying. A finals with star power is usually better than a finals without star power. But the idea of, if you're amongst the crowd who finds that the NBA product has gotten worse, whether it be the style of play, the whining like from guys like Luka to the refs, like whatever the reason why you think the NBA has gotten worse, them trading for Luka and pairing him with LeBron doesn't save the NBA. And Charles Barkley didn't hold back in this clip in his response to Kendrick Perkins the other night after that comment.
I saw a fool idiot on TV talking about the Lakers save the NBA.
Save the NBA?
Yeah. He's an idiot and a fool, but he know who he is. What's his name, Shaq?
Which one are you talking about?
Kendrick Perkins. He said the Lakers, first of all, the Lakers have had a great 2 weeks. He said the Lakers saved the NBA season. That's because them fools on the other network, which we're going to be working for the next year, that's all they talk about. Let me tell y'all something.
Tell me something.
And first of all, I want all the smoke. I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard or anything like that.
I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard.
Right.
I like that.
Hey, man,
I'm stealing that one.
The Lakers are doing great. Got a long way to go. But the reason the season's been going great for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, y'all just want to talk about the Warriors and the Lakers. They're both doing great. Don't get me wrong. If I turn out to be wrong, I got no problem with that. But y'all are idiots because y'all talk about the Lakers and the Warriors all the time.
I mean, Charles.
I saw a fool idiot.
Yeah, you can play the fool idiot as much as you want, Johnny. Charles Barkley is a national treasure.
Absolutely.
He must be protected at all costs. I want to get past the comedy because it was comedy gold to hear him rip Kendrick Perkins as a fool idiot. But getting to what Charles actually said, he's 100% right. It's not that, quote unquote, the Lakers saved the NBA, which is a ridiculous statement. They didn't do anything for the style of play that has turned fans off for the other 29 teams in the league. It's just that ESPN is in the business of promoting the NBA because that's like their number one. Now that they're getting out of Major League Baseball and they only have football on once a week for 4 months a year,
yeah,
like their number one, you know, media rights thing is the NBA. They have them on twice a week, sometimes three or four times a week during the NBA season.
They got hockey back too, though, didn't they?
They have hockey back, but NBA obviously makes them more money. So the NBA, I think this is a product of, as Charles mentioned there, ESPN wants to mention the Lakers and the star power like the Warriors as much as possible. So I think it's – I don't crush Kendrick Perkins for saying it because his job is to get views, to get clicks, to cause reaction. And going on TV and saying the Lakers saved the NBA is a way to get views and clicks and attention – he's not going to say that about a small market because the small market's not going to gather the reaction that saying that about an LA team is. But Charles also right. Like, it's not that the Lakers saved the NBA. It's just that's all you guys ever want to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Cleveland, as Chuck said, Cleveland and Oklahoma City have had far better seasons. But if you turn on to ESPN any given day, are they talking about the Cavaliers and Thunder? No.
No.
They're talking about the Lakers and the Warriors. So Chuck is 100%. I get it from Kendrick's side. He's got to do his job to get reaction, talk about the biggest team, sell it, say things that'll get feedback. But Chuck is right. ESPN has just become basically a Los Angeles Lakers LeBron James propaganda machine, and that's what this kind of came off as to me.
Yeah, and like to your point, I get where Perk is coming from. Like, yeah, okay, cool. You know, bring back the days of the Lakers versus Boston and all those like those
which would sell.
Yeah,
I'll say that like a Celtics Lakers finals this year would do good numbers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But it's almost like the annoyance that we hear in like football with the Cowboys or baseball with like the Yankees.
100%.
Like, just because these great teams in the past make having them be good again is not going to make it might make for higher views, but it doesn't make for a better like league, if that makes
no, 100%.
If that makes sense,
it'll get probably more TV viewers, but it doesn't make the TV products better.
Yeah,
yeah, like I completely agree with you. Like I get it kind of from both sides, but it does feel like I'm glad you brought up like the Cowboys and Yankees because that's kind of something guilty that ESPN is guilty of as well. That it's just like they take. 32 in the case of the NFL or 30 in the case of the NBA, they take the entire league and kind of cut it down to like four or five teams that they're willing to talk about and completely ignore what the other teams are doing. And I think as Charles was indicating in that clip, he's
tall,
just pushing.
Fool, idiot.
You can play that as much as you want, Johnny. He's just pointing out I think the annoyance that a lot of us have is like if I want to tune into, a Stephen A. Smith show on a weekday, which I basically never do because of what has happened to it, as Charles lay out. Like, I don't need to hear Lakers, Yankees, Dallas Cowboys propaganda. Let's talk about the teams that are doing the best, and the teams that are doing the best are the Thunder and the Cavs.
Yeah, like, you're hitting on major markets that don't need extra support to be major markets. Like, if you want these leagues to grow, you have to talk about all the teams, not the ones that...
But they're not in the business of making the league grow. They're in the business of ESPN because, I mean... And this is why I somewhat see what Kendrick was doing. Like, if he goes out and talks about a small market, it's not going to get ESPN the attention as if he talked about New York or LA.
Yeah.
So, that's a big part
of it. And to be fair, there are more Lakers fans out there than some of these small market teams have combined.
Exactly.
Like, oh, true.
You know?
So, I completely get why Kendrick did. Like, his employer will be happy that he went out and gave a hot take about a big market and it got reaction. I mean, today, us talking about it with Charles Barkley, another network talking about it, Kendrick did his job. But I also get the frustration of Barkley, who, in this sense, I think was voicing the frustration of the fans of like, guys, we want to hear something. As fans, we want to hear about more than just two teams every day.
Exactly.
That's kind of the thing. All right. There's more NBA drama. We didn't even get to Stephen A. Smith and LeBron James. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. And if we have time, a big question as well. Bullpen, ESPN Radio, 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Bullpen is back on 3 seconds to go. Mount Rushmore plus one next segment, but we got to continue this talk of the NBA drama this week. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Domer with you. Hit us up on the HRMP listener line if you got any thoughts about this drama or anything we talked about with the Texans or the Astros as well. 713-780-3776. So we hit on the Kendrick Perkins, Charles Barkley drama in the last segment, but that wasn't the only thing going on. We had an on-court confrontation between LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith, which is just wild. Obviously, you know, it didn't escalate to anything serious, but it is still wild that LeBron decided to confront Stephen A. Smith on the court. And as we'll hear in this first clip from Stephen A. Smith, what LeBron was confronting him over was apparently this comment about his son, Bronny James.
That wasn't a basketball player confronting me. That was a parent. That was a father.
But come on. I'm not being cruel to Bronny. I'm looking out. Do you want it this way, LeBron? Do you want it this way, Rich Paul? Do you want it this way? He can't go into the G League and average 20, 25 and stay there until he's ready? Because he's LeBron's son, you know how they're going to judge him. And before anybody wants to jump on me, remember, I never saw Bronny James play until he showed up in the NBA and the G League. I refused to watch him because if I watched him, I would have to talk about him. And I didn't want to talk about LeBron James' son because I thought it was so unfair to the kid. He's such a wonderful kid. Wonderful family.
So I take no exception with what Stephen A. said. Look, and I've got a kid. I understand why LeBron would be super protective of his son. But Stephen A., I thought, took a pretty mild or gave a pretty mild take to what everyone has been saying around Bronny James, and that based upon what he actually did at USC and his, you know, high school career and AAU career leading up to that point, he did nothing to deserve a second round pick. We all know that. That is not a hot take. It's also not a hot take what Stephen A. said about, shouldn't you let the kid earn it, right? Shouldn't you send him down to the G League, make him earn it, make him be a guy that's scoring 20 a night, make him earn the respect of his peers that he's not just a Nepo baby before you, I mean, look, Bronny's had multiple games in the actual NBA playing on the court with his dad, not because he earned it with his college career, not because he earned it with great play in the G League, but just because his last name is James.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Stephen A. said. Like, you're doing your son a disservice because all the people around them are going to be like, oh, he sucks. He's just a Nepo kid. But if he goes out and earns it by playing well in the G League and in just incremental, you know, steps up, then maybe he earned the respect of someone that deserves to be in that spotlight. But LeBron, by sheltering him, giving him a second round draft pick or demanding it happen when he didn't deserve it, letting him skip the G League at times and not go on road trips, all you're doing is creating the controversy that we're now talking about it. So yeah. I took no exception to what Stephen A. Smith had to say.
No, not at all. Because I think Stephen A. he's not going after Bronny. He's going after LeBron, which he should, because
for creating the circus.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's already, you already have enough pressure on you as a kid trying to go from college to the NBA without having a father who played in the NBA. And then you add on the fact that it's LeBron James, one of the greatest of all time. I can't imagine the anxiety and pressure that Bronny James is feeling. One, he should never have come out of USC that early. But we know that his dad probably was a big proponent behind it because he wanted to play with his kid.
100%.
Then on top of that, you get to the Lakers, and like you just talked about, you're only playing in G League games that are in LA that don't make you travel. How does everybody else on that G League team going to feel when they see that, oh, LeBron, Bronny doesn't have to travel with the team? Then he gets a spot and he starts playing on the Lakers without proving absolutely anything. Everything is driven behind LeBron And then LeBron wants to confront somebody courtside because of what he's basically done to his son. And Stephen A. said it perfectly. He's like, all these people could have contacted me behind the scenes.
Well, let's get to that clip because that's in our next clip here. So we heard the clip of Stephen A. Smith talking about Bronny James, which led to LeBron James confronting Stephen A. Smith on the court at a Lakers game. Now, this clip is Stephen A. Smith giving his thoughts and reactions to being confronted on the court by LeBron.
That wasn't a basketball player confronting me. That was a parent. That was a father. And I can't sit here and be angry or feel slighted by LeBron James in any way in that regard. By all accounts, he's obviously a wonderful family man and a wonderful father who cares very, very deeply about his son. And based on some of the comments that he had heard, or shall I say, I think he thought he heard, he clearly took exception to some of the things that he heard me say, and he confronted me about it. For the record, his agent and friend, Rich Paul, has my number. Maverick Carter, who works under him, has my number. LeBron James knows how to get in contact with me if he wanted to. He never called, because had he called and wanted to talk to me, I would have accepted that call. Had he wanted to see me, I would have flown out and I would have seen him and I would have had a conversation man to man. But that is not what he elected to do.
Yeah, so I don't see how anyone views the situation as something other than LeBron James being extremely thin-skinned and soft. Like, the idea that you're creating the world's reaction to Bronny James. Like, if you let Bronny James succeed or fail on his own, I mean, people are probably still going to take shots from time to time, whatever. But you're making him, as we talked about early in the segment, Cam, by not letting him, like, make him a second-round pick when he didn't deserve it. Not letting him go on road trips. Getting called up from the G League when he wasn't ready. You're going to create the, oh, look at this Nepo baby. He's only here because of his dad. You're creating that reaction from people. And so you created this reaction, and now you're mad at the reaction that you created. And as Stephen A. laid out in that clip that we heard, in which I thought he actually took a bit of a higher road than I would have taken in that, like by talking about the family man and all that. It's like, no, this guy, as you said, his agent has your number. Like, all these people around him have your number. LeBron could 100% could have gotten hold of Stephen A. Smith if he wanted to. There's no doubt in the world.
I 100%.
Mean, 100, 150%. And he chose to be performative and confront Stephen A. in the most, like, childish, dramatic way possible and confront him on the court about a fair comment, Stephen A. Smith, when he could have handled any criticism he had of Stephen A. behind closed doors with a phone call or a visit. I thought it was immature and childish and thin-skinned and soft what LeBron James did.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing, too, is Stephen A. said himself, he is a reporter. He is a journalist. That is what he does. He covers the NBA. And he said that he didn't want to talk about Bronny before the NBA, but then when LeBron basically forces Bronny into the NBA, that is in the realm of what Stephen A.'s job is supposed to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, if Bronny James plays NBA games, yeah. Now Stephen A. has to talk about
it. And I guarantee you that if Stephen A. went the other route and was like, no, I'm still going to ignore and not talk about Bronny, LeBron would have an issue
with that.
He would
have taken
that
as a slight.
There is no win-win with LeBron. And then, yeah, again, back to like confronting him courtside. All the opportunity to do it out of the cameras, but you literally were like, keep my son's name out of your mouth. On national TV in front of Stephen A., you knew that that was going to be a story. So you are even more adding your son into the equation that has nothing to do with Stephen A. Like, this is all LeBron causing this.
Yeah, what creates pushback from people, right? Like, yeah. Having something thrown in their face. I think what you said there at the end was like, you've already created undue pressure and criticism and conversation about your son by what we've talked about, you know, being a second round pick, skipping the G League, not going on road trips. You've already done that.
Yeah.
And like you said, like if he had called Stephen A. on the phone, like say, hey, this is off the record, but let's talk about this man to man. I think Stephen A. wouldn't have brought that to air.
No.
I'm sure he's told hundreds of things every week that he doesn't bring to air. But because you did it publicly in a very performative, dramatic way, you've now added all those things that we talked about, like the undue pressure and critique and conversation that you've put on your son for no reason. You've now done that again.
Yep.
And amplified it 1,000 times. Like, I don't know what LeBron's end game is here. Like, I get obviously wanting to help your kid. I mean, 100%, everyone does, but you're not helping him. And I think that's what he's not seeing.
You're not, and it's almost one of those things where it kind of takes me back to like the ball days with the brothers and
yeah,
the dad.
Lonzo
and all
Ball,
the
yeah.
outlandish and like promoting that he was doing. And it's just like, okay, are you really doing it for your son's legacy or are you doing it for your own legacy? Because we don't see Bronny coming out and talking and like making a big deal and talking about how he's LeBron James' son. It's all LeBron talking about Bronny. And it's just like, are you really doing it for the betterment of your son or are you just trying to continue your legacy of having your son in the lead, but it's your son. So yeah. It's just kind of like, where are you coming at with this one?
Johnny, are we being crazy here? Which side of this are you taking?
No, I don't think you're being crazy. I think LeBron's being a little soft here, specifically, you know, his son's in the NBA, you know, he's a professional basketball player now. These guys are going to talk about him. You know, I think part of the anger, and this is just speculation, but part of the anger maybe comes from his son sucking, not being good enough to like, if Bronny James was better and he didn't travel, I don't think there'd be a problem. I think if he was better and he was on the Lakers roster, people would be like, oh, okay, he's playing, but we all know he didn't deserve it. He's not good enough. And I think maybe that's part of where that animosity comes from with LeBron.
I could see that. Like LeBron could be feeling like maybe he thought putting him on, maybe he thought everything he was doing was going to spark some upper level that Bronny hadn't reached yet, and him not reaching that level is like, crap, I tried this, it's all backfiring, it's not working, and now I've got to be super protective dad and like step in and protect my son. But I think what he obviously doesn't get is by doing it publicly and making a dramatic show of it in a very performative way by confronting a reporter on the court, you're not fixing it. You're just magnifying it and making it worse.
Didn't he show some of this animosity as well? Like when before Bronny became a pro, it was like a high school game where LeBron like ran onto the court or something.
Yeah,
and
I don't remember the details of that.
He's had other situations like this defending his children before.
And how is Bronny supposed to get better when you're basically having him leave college early, not playing in G League games, and then just going straight against playing against pros? Like, sure, I guess you could look at it as like, oh, he's going to get better if he plays against the best talent.
Yeah.
But if you're not ready for it, you're not going to succeed. And so
you're just going to be terrible, and it's going to have your confidence you have is going to be crushed.
How is not playing in just the G League your first year a bad thing? Like you're getting consistent playing time. You're able to work on things that you need to improve on. I mean, I would rather play full time in the G League than sit on the Lakers bench and play 2 minutes every third game.
Yeah, like 100%. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. I think obviously it's got to be. I sympathize with Bronny because it's got to be difficult to say like, Dad, you let me do this on my own.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, I mean, I don't know. I don't know Bronny at all. Maybe he's 100% behind all this. But I could see, even if he's, like, someone that wanted to play in the road games of the G League, stay down in the G League until he was ready, if his dad, LeBron, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, is like, no, you're going to do it this way, I could see where his son in that situation is maybe not going to speak his mind to his dad in that situation. So it's tough all around. But, yeah, I just hated the way LeBron James handled that. All right. Enough semi-serious sports drama. On the other side of the break, we got to get to Mount Rushmore Plus One, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the best part of your weekend. That's next, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in Houston, to the best part of your weekend, it is now time for Mount Rushmore Plus One, the award-winning, groundbreaking, sports radio landscape-changing segment that'll add the three of us, and Sean Mapes, even though he's not here, since he was on the creative part of this, in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame, in far less than the 27 years it took John and Lance to get there. Are you kidding me? This segment's getting us in 13 minimum, or 13 maximum, that is. Incredible. I mean...
Ooh.
Well, you doubt me, Cam Smith?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Never.
If you doubt me, you're out. I'm going to have to lay down the law. I take Johnny Weissman.
I am in.
Yeah, because, like, who gave you the power?
As co-creator of Mount Rushmore Plus One, and the other co-creators not here, I think I have sole power.
Just because you're the oldest does not mean that you have the power.
Yes, I am the oldest. Okay, now you brought me down, Johnny. Now you remind me of my mortality. And that we're all hurtling towards non-existence. We're all dust in the wind, guys.
Well,
ESPN Radio 97.5.
All right, time to bring it back up.
Okay, let's pick it back up. All right, we're never gonna die. We're living forever. Cam Smith, you want to go first? What is your Mount Rushmore Plus One?
So, due to the rodeo season, I decided to do rodeo performances that I wish I could see that I probably never...
From just this year or just in general?
Just in general.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go to the rodeo a lot?
I go to the cook-off pretty much every year, and then I try and go to at least one or two shows.
Okay. I might shock you. The last time I went to the rodeo, and I said this on the Killer Bees the other day, and they both looked at me like I had two heads, but... The last time I went to the rodeo, it was still in the Astrodome.
Oh, my.
It was, see, Johnny did a double take. It was the last ever rodeo in the Dome, 2002, for ZZ Top.
But, wow. You know, you have to really try very hard not go to the rodeo for that long. You literally have a media pass. That can get you into the rodeo at no cost, B-Man.
That is 100% true. It can't make me... not have to deal with the crowds, though.
Oh,
and that's part of it.
I get it.
I'm also not a huge country music fan. Now, I would have... I probably... And I do slightly regret not going to see Chris Stapleton the last few years when he's been here. He's fantastic. And there's always usually like a rock act or Bun B, I think, was last night. I wouldn't mind to go see that. But yeah, overall, like usually two-thirds of the lineup I don't care about.
So Journey coming up.
Yeah,
soon.
I don't care about Journey. Yeah.
I like it.
I can't stand the vocals.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. You're on Mount Rushmore Plus One. It was acts that you wish you could see at the rodeo?
Yes, that I know I can't see ever again or probably won't. The first four, no particular order. The last one is definitely going to be number one. But I have Pitbull. Pitbull. I would have loved to go see Pitbull.
You don't strike me as a Pitbull guy. You like the Miami party scene? What's going on here?
No, I mean I do like Miami. Don't get me wrong. Fun time when I went.
South Beach Cam over here.
Pitbull's not like my favorite, but I know that he puts on a good show.
Yeah.
And I knew a few people that went to that show and said it was amazing.
I think if I went to the show, I'd want to be under the influence of something. I think that would add to the...
Oh, but of course.
Anyway, yes. Go ahead.
After that, Usher, or should I say Usher?
Yes.
I would have loved to see Usher at the rodeo. Then I have George Strait. I would have loved to see George Strait.
So is that never going to happen again?
I think when his last performance a few years ago, I think he said that was it for the rodeo.
Really? Because I know he played the big show at Kyle Field like a year ago, right?
Yeah, he's still putting on like decent sized shows, but I think he said that with as far as the rodeo, like that was his last hurrah. Brooks and Dunn, always been a big Brooks and Dunn fan. So I would have liked to see them, and I don't even think they're...
See, I don't know. Like, are they just not playing together?
Anymore,
because they're both alive, right?
They are, but I don't really hear them. I don't really hear anything about them like performing. So I think they're done. But definitely number one, Selena.
I assume you have the tattoo of Selena.
I have a tattoo of Selena, and I have a vintage shirt of actually her face in the jacket that the Astros jacket that she was wearing in '95. So that one, obviously, I would never get to see
that.
No,
that one is the most definite. You will never be able to see that. The other ones are possible.
It's possible.
Unlikely, but possible.
Unlikely, but possible.
Selena, very unlikely.
Yeah.
Unless we get a hologram, like Tupac performing. There you go. Hologram Selena. Would you go see that?
it because I have
yeah.
my.
Yeah, you would.
I would.
Yeah, you would. Yeah,
I would. I would.
All right. My Mount Rushmore plus one this week. I've got two choices. I'll let y'all pick. Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. All right. So these are defunct businesses that I kind of oddly miss, even though there's no reason to have them around anymore, because they're just been completely replaced by technology and the convenience of other things. All right. First on my list, I don't know if you guys will remember this. It was the Netflix of video games, but Gamefly.
Yes.
You remember Gamefly?
I do.
See, Gamefly was elite for a while because unlike going to a video store, you could keep it for as long as you wanted. And when I got on Gamefly, their distribution center was in Austin. So like when you were done with the game and you mailed it back and they mailed you another one, it was like one day out and you would have a game the next day. But then they moved it to, like, they closed down the Austin one, and it was in Kansas City, and it was like 3 days, and then the prices went up. And then we obviously all started downloading video games on our consoles, yep. And there was no need for a Gamefly. But I do kind of oddly miss Gamefly. Something about getting that envelope in the mail is like, oh, sweet, I got this to play. The anticipation of it, whereas now, like, there's no anticipation. It's like, download, boom, here we go.
It's like Blockbuster. Sometimes you just miss the good old days of pulling
next
out
on
that
my
cassette.
List, Blockbuster. Cam Smith. Now, this is for, I think, distinguished gentlemen of a certain age, like myself. But there was something, like, you could still kind of do this with, you know, browsing through, you know, wherever you're downloading your movies, renting your movies from, whether it be like a Fire Stick or a game console, wherever. But there was something unique, I think, about the experience of walking down the aisles, like on a Friday night, yep. Saturday night, just like looking at everything, taking your time, then buying the popcorn or the candy there on the way out. There was the experience, even though, like, hey, you're still getting to see the movie at home. Like, that part of it hasn't changed. But something about the experience of actually walking the aisles and maybe coming across something you didn't expect, and or the anger that they're out of some movie, yeah. You wanted. Like, that part of the experience you'll never get back. And I do kind of miss that. Next one. I don't know if you guys were... Cam, you might be old enough to have used this. I don't think Johnny was. Although, are you guys basically the same age? I think you're about close.
I'll be 33 in August.
Yeah, I'm a little older.
Okay, so a little older. I'm not going to make you say it. Napster. I miss Napster, man. Either of you guys use Napster?
The music one?
Yeah, the illegal music download that got sued by Metallica.
Yeah, I used LimeWire.
I used LimeWire. Okay, mm-hmm. So I didn't use LimeWire. I assume it's kind of the same thing. But Napster, basically, anyone who had a song could upload it. And then you could link to them and download the song. I assume that's kind of the same thing as LimeWire.
Very similar.
It's basically file sharing, but with music.
Yeah.
And Metallica sued them. And I actually, like, you could actually sign up to, like, dispute it at the risk of actually being sued by Metallica. And I did so because I had lots of Metallica songs on there. But luckily, Metallica never sued
me. The only difference is you had to be very careful about what you opened and where when you downloaded something from LimeWire.
You show right.
Yeah, there were some things on there. So I oddly miss Napster, even though, like, now, like, I mean, I have to pay for it, but I can get a song so quick through the Apple Music thing. You click on it, 5 seconds later, it's downloaded on my phone, boom, I'm listening to whatever I want to. But I do miss the magic of Napster. So that was, that's three of my defunct businesses. I have so many. I could go over the rest of the show with this. But I'll say on the restaurant side, Bennigan's. Big Bennigan's? Yeah, man, I think it's mostly their apps that I liked. And maybe that's because of the age I was at the time that I just wanted to eat junk food all day. Not that that's really changed much. But the apps at Bennigan's, like the Irish, I mean, Irish Cam Smith. I'm talking Irish Cam Smith here. The vibes and the decor and the atmosphere. I love going to Bennigan's as a kid.
I love Bennigan's. I love the Monte Cristo.
Yeah. My wife got that all the time.
I also got the quesadillas when I was younger. Actually,
skins were elite.
They were good. If I'm not mistaken, Bennigan's was my mom's first job. She was like a server bartender at Bennigan's.
Did she have the flair?
I don't remember. I think this was before I came onto this earth.
Okay.
But Bennigan's was also the place where whenever I saw my dad, that was like on Tuesdays, that was the one place that we would go to.
Mm-hmm.
So when Bennigan's evaporated. I was relatively upset.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, John, have you ever been to a Bennigan's, or is that before your time?
No, I have been. I mean, I don't remember, about it. Okay. Yeah, I must have been real young.
Last one that I'll put on this list, Radio Shack. Radio Shack was the perfect place for going into, like, if you go into a place having no idea what you need, and all of a sudden you see something there, like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll get that.
Yeah.
It also takes me back to a time. Now, this is really going to age me. I regret to even tell this story. But my first cell phone was like a pay-as-you-go. And I had to go to Radio Shack to, like, refill the minutes. And I'd give them $20. And they would put X amount of minutes back on my phone.
I didn't know that's how it worked.
Yeah, it was like the olden days of 2003. This is what I'm talking about here. I oddly miss Radio Shack. It was like you walk in and there's so many things, like the remote control cars and helicopters.
That's what I was going to say.
Tons of stuff you could get in trouble with as a kid. I love going to Radio Shack and just finding the odd little things that you could have fun with.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the remote control cars, and it was after Toy Story when Sid, when he had his little remote control car, and that's when I started going to Radio Shack and buying those things and building little homemade wooden slants and stuff like that, and it's so good old days. Fun.
All right, Johnny Bellmer, what is your Mount Rushmore plus one, sir?
Yep, I'm going to do mine quick here, rapid fire. I went to the rodeo a couple days ago, opening night, to see Reba. A little disappointed, by the way.
Oh.
Not a big country person, but I was a little disappointed in her performance. But anyways, people forget about the actual rodeo, right? They go for the concert, the carnival. Yeah, this is my Mount Rushmore plus one of my favorite Houston livestock show and rodeo athlete names. They've got some very unique
like the names. The bulls?
No, of the actual rodeo cowboys and cowgirls.
Okay, okay.
The bulls was another idea I thought of too, but they don't list those out there very easily, and I didn't write them down when I was there the other night, but I was laughing at them. They're great. No, I went actual athletes here because they've got some pretty interesting names here. Number five, competing in the bareback riding category from Grantsville, Utah, Bronc Marriott.
Bronc Marriott.
He's riding on a Bronco.
That's a great name.
It is a great name.
That is a great name.
I love that. Competing in the barrel racing category from Pleasanton, Texas, she is Jimmy K. Cox. Jimmy, this is the reason she's on the list. Jimmy spelled J-Y-M-M-Y.
Say that again.
J-Y-M-M-Y. Jimmy K. Cox. Well, her last name, it makes it funny a little bit when you say it all at once, but it's kind of a cool name.
Yeah, a girl named Jimmy to begin with.
Yes.
And then to spell it J-Y-M-M-I. I've never seen Jimmy spelled that way.
I guess that makes it the feminine version.
I guess. Maybe. All right, what's left here on this list?
Yep, we got number three, competing in the bull riding from Springer, Oklahoma, Roscoe Jarbo.
Roscoe Jarbo.
That's a hell of a name. That's a hell of a name.
Yes, it is.
I like it.
Number two, competing in the tie-down ropers category from Itasca, Texas.
Wait, hold on. Itasca? You mean Itasca Cena?
No, it's called Itasca. I don't know where it is.
Okay. All right.
But from Itasca, Texas, Jontavian Douch.
I wouldn't like that name because that's a little too close to another D word.
Douch. Yeah. That's true.
Douch bag over there. Continue.
Number one, competing in the steer wrestling category from Belleville, Texas. This is my favorite one.
A wrestler at the top. I like it.
Rowdy Parrot. That Rowdy. Is
spelled like the bird.
It's spelled like the bird. R-O-W-D-Y and last name Parrot, like the bird. Yeah.
Wow. Rowdy Parrot.
That's not the only Rowdy in sports because I think the Brewers have a guy Rowdy Tellez.
Rowdy Tellez.
But Rowdy is a very appropriate name for rodeo.
Yeah, I mean, if you're picturing the perfect rodeo athlete, would you not want someone who's rowdy? You don't want someone who's not rowdy trying to wrestle them steers. Are you kidding me? All right, we're overdue for a break here. Other side of the break, our final segment of the show today, we'll have to get into what we love from sports and what we or the worst people in sports. That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Final segment of the show today here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the Bullpen. Me, Brad McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer. And programming note, we will be back next week as long as the Aggies don't have a game that conflicts. Obviously, with March Madness, there could be a conflict there. But we will be on for the foreseeable future unless there's an Aggies basketball conflict. And we'll have some guys that were in the Rock the Mic competition joining us periodically over these next few weeks. So I have that look forward to. But we'll end the show now in the final 5 minutes that we have with our worst people in sports and what we love from sports this week. I'll get to this audio quick here, Johnny. Draymond Green called out Cat for Karl-Anthony Towns for apparently ducking Jimmy Butler and missing game. Turns out Karl-Anthony Towns missed it because there was a death for a loved one. When Draymond was confronted with that fact and asked, like, do you want to apologize or take it back? Here was Draymond's response.
Have you seen any reaction today to your comments about Cat?
No.
And are you aware of what the circumstances were?
No. No. What's the circumstance?
Apparently he said he was at a funeral for a family friend.
Oh, man, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that. That sucks. But my comments that I made was what I heard was this. And that's what I heard. So I do, send my well wishes to him and his family. You know, none of us, it's inevitable. We all experience death in one way or another, and we'll all experience it in the same way one day. So it's unfortunate. You never wish that on anybody, but the Draymond Green Show with Baron Davis must go on.
This guy.
Oh, and okay. So the clip is there, like the full clip. So he self promotes. Like, he started off okay. He's like, oh man, that sucks. And, you know, my condolences to he and his family. Although he never took it back or apologized. Like, well, that's just what I heard. It's like, well, you heard wrong. But then as the clip goes on, he does that same thing with the Draymond Green Show with Baron Davis. We'll go on. He says that again. He self promoted twice when given the chance to apologize to Karl-Anthony Towns for saying he was ducking Jimmy Butler, when in fact Karl-Anthony Towns was at a funeral I believe it's his girlfriend's aunt is what it turned out to be.
Yeah.
And he self-promoted his podcast twice during this so-called apology. So Draymond Green, my worst person in sports. Cam, who's your worst person?
I mean, I hate to be repetitive because we kind of already touched on it, but mine was going to be LeBron.
Yeah, it was a bad week for LeBron.
Yeah.
Soft. Johnny, your worst person?
Mine wasn't a person. It was an organization to the Dallas Mavericks for announcing they're going to raise ticket prices this week after what they've done to that fan base.
What do you guys think of the conspiracy theory that the Mavericks owners are maybe trying to piss off fans to the point that
there's
they'll accept that they leave?
Mm-hmm. There's some credence to it.
I think there is. Like, well, you trade off your best player. There's no reason to do that. And now, right after you trade your best player, you jack up ticket prices by 8%.
Yeah.
The reason, you ask why, Cam? Because the ownership group has strong gambling ties, and they want to be in a state that allows gambling. That's the thought
process. A.K.A. Las Vegas.
A.K.A. Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Or Oklahoma. Well, no, there's already Oklahoma.
There's already a team there, yeah. There's already a team there. There's already a team in Louisiana as well. So, yeah,
Arizona?
I don't think, well, they already also have a team. I don't think it'll happen, but I don't know. Every day that goes by, like, this ticket price thing is like, maybe there's a little credence to this conspiracy theory. But enough for the anger sharks. No more swimming the anger sharks. We'll instead go ahead and doggy paddle over to Sea of Tranquility. Deep breath and talk about what we love from sports this week. Johnny, I got audio here. The 76er players, including Paul George, were in attendance for last night's SmackDown in Philadelphia. Got introduced to the home crowd there. And this was the reaction they got voiced here by Joe Tessitore, the voice of SmackDown.
Are the 76ers. They're going to host the Jazz come Sunday. And they have been loving the action ringside. Of course, these Philly fans, you can get a mixed reaction if you have certain struggles during the season.
You can cut it there. Joe Tessitore is such a pro. That was not a mixed reaction.
No, not at all.
And I think that reaction is largely because Paul George is there and he's far overpaid for how he's played. So I don't even know if it's on the other three people, because there's four of them in total that were there. But that was not a mixed reaction. That was Philadelphia saying F these 76ers players and the overpaid Paul George. But the pro that is Joe Tesselbart, an uneven season producing these mixed reaction. Credit to Joe Tessitore. I loved his ability to play that off.
The 76ers got the smackdown at the SmackDown.
See? Even without Sports Entertainment Sean, we got Johnny over here putting a steer wrestler at the top of his Mount Rushmore. You're making wrestling references. I love it. Wrestling continues. All right. Cam, what did you love from sports?
I love the senior night U of H. Just, I guess, the whole appreciation for all the senior men's basketball players that have stuck around for 3 or 4 years. You know, guys like Juwan Roberts and Javier Francis and Malik Wilson.
Wasn't Juwan Roberts been there for like 6 years?
Oh, he's definitely been there like at least 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But just seeing what those guys have been able to do for the program the last 4 or 5 years, then obviously getting real close with Calvin Sampson, you could see that he was kind of emotional. So it's going to be sad to see all those guys go, but that was my what I loved.
Johnny, we got about 30 seconds here. It looks like, what did you love from sports this week, sir?
I thought it was great. Eli Manning eviscerating Caitlin Clark. 76-51 in Papa Shot.
Wow.
It was just hilarious.
Yeah, Eli Manning, a little bit of a goof, but that is pretty fun. Papa Shot is not basketball, so it's a different skill set, but that is pretty fun. All right, we'll be back next week for Cam Smith, for John Belmer. I am Brian McDonald. Back next week with, I believe, somebody from the Rock and Mike group there that participated a few months ago. Have a great week in Houston. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.